tonight on the Mac to the Future Go livecast. Should Apple start to disengage to China, which is home to like nearly 15% of its customer base? Apple TV Plus is getting ready to debut November 1st. Do you care? All that and more tonight on the Mac to the Future livecast. Go. And we are here, and I am your humble host, Guy Searle. How are you doing? I not only have the Mac to the Future Go livecast, but the MyMac.com podcast, and on occasion, Guy's Daily Drive, though not daily, and it's, I am driving, though, so, you know, there's that. I am joined, as I usually am, with, or by, Warren Sklar and David Ginsberg. Hello, gentlemen.
How's it going?
Hey, it's like we weren't even just talking 15 seconds ago. Just like that. Yeah.
I'm going to say hi to John F. Braun. He's in the chat room.
John F. Braun is in the chat. Hello, Mr. Braun. How are you, sir? So good to see you.
If he can hear us.
Well, I think he can hear us. He should be able to hear us.
I can't hear anything.
About what? What?
What? You just switched to headphones.
Wait. No, hold on, hold on. Ah. Now my AirPods are noise canceling. That's right. That's how you make noise. I don't want to spend the $300, so if I want noise canceling AirPods, I just, you know.
There you go. And that, of course, is the comedic stylings of Warren Sklar. Touch me there.
Now I dropped one. Damn it.
Oh, so bad. You're a bad man, Warren. We also have Mr. David Ginsberg. Hello, Mr. Ginsberg.
How's it going? Great to be here.
It's a glorious day. Yeah, it is. Hi. And my beard is, you know, there was a reason. We got started kind of late. I'm usually on much earlier than this. But my son got a package today. My 25-year-old son, Guy Jr., got a package today from Amazon. And I'm almost hesitant to tell you what was in that package from Amazon, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Now, he got some protein powder because he's into that. I don't think that you have the same thing in your package that he had in his package. He received his Halloween costume.
Oh, boy.
Today.
Was it protein powder?
It was not. It was not. He's going as Robin, and it's the booty shorts Robin. So it's the high green white pants with the red. Yeah.
The 60s TV show.
Exactly. Exactly. And his 5'1" girlfriend is going as Batman. So. Nice. Yeah. So he was trying that on. As a matter of fact, hold on a second. I'm not going to post this.
I will
very quickly. I don't know how. Can you guys see that?
No, I cannot see it. And the thing on the table. Well, the thing on the table looks like a big.
I'm already going to have nightmares.
Well, the thing, if you hold it up again, the thing on the table looks like a big black dingus. Dinky. Hold it up. What? Look at it again.
Okay.
Look with, from here, it looks like that black thing on the table looks like his thing.
Thank you. I needed that.
Doesn't it?
I'm not going to put it back up.
Just put it. It looks like he has like a very ethnic body part coming out of his lower extremities.
Oh, stop. Oh, my God.
He must have had it surgically added. I would.
You would notice that.
Well, I mean,
that really says a lot more about you, Warren, than it does my son.
I was already scarred by the picture. I might as well go full in.
See, now I can never look at that picture again.
And that's a good thing.
I can't.
I'm already having nightmares.
Yeah.
I can't look at it.
Don't ever show that again.
No. All right.
and edit it too.
No.
Yeah, edit it out.
No, I'm not going to. Let's move on to some quick takes. Okay. The European Union wants to take a look at Apple Pay for anti-competitiveness. They're saying that Apple Pay is anti-competitive because it's so much harder to use other forms of payment through Apple Wallet. This is the same argument they have about all of Apple's services. If there wasn't alternatives, then I might see the point. But there's alternatives to every single one of these services that Apple has. So I'm not really sure. Yeah. You know, and Apple's argument all along has been it's more secure. The way that we do it, it is more secure. If you want to use other forms of payment, you certainly can.
Yeah.
They have, I mean, there's a lot of places just do NFC payments and it works. And, you know, so sometimes it will say it takes the NFC payment or electronic pay, and you'll put your Apple phone to it and it looks like it's going to work, but it doesn't. That's right. Because it accepts other methods of NFC payments, just not that. And that's kind of sucks. I mean, would I like Apple to open it up to pretty much everything that you could touch it to? Yeah, because, you know, who wants to sit there and have to take out your wallet at that point? But, you know, it's just a weird thing. Like my credit card, my American Express card, yeah. I just actually discovered 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I looked, it had a little symbol on it. You could take my credit card and put it next to one of those terminals, and you just leave it. It has an NFC chip, I guess, in there.
Yeah.
A little credit card. And so I had no idea.
So, I mean, you can just take out your entire wallet, put it on there, and you'll pay for the same thing like six different times.
With six different credit cards. They all do that. They all fight it, and they all fight with each other. Like, no, it's mine.
It's mine. It's mine.
I'm paying this time.
Okay.
So, yeah, my take is I get why Apple's doing it, and if they could figure out a way to make it work everywhere, Apple Pay, that'd be good. I would like that.
Are either one of you monitoring the Mac to the Future Facebook page for this?
I doubt it.
Could one of you do that and keep an eye, see if there's any comments that come up?
Actually, I get notifications if anything comes up and nothing's
okay.
No. There's none.
Yeah, we're
good. All right, good enough. iTunes isn't the only end-of-life app in Catalina. iPhotos, remember iPhotos? That one is now officially kaput in Catalina. Yeah, if you haven't moved all of your stuff to Photos by now, chances are you weren't going to move to Catalina anyway, because you just weren't. You know, and I imagine that if you really, really tried really, really hard, you'd find out that that iWeb and iDVD and some of these other old iServices programs that Apple used to have don't work with Catalina either.
Right.
Now, remember last week we talked about an application that Apple removed at the bequest of the Chinese government, and mostly because they were saying, take it out or we will make it a law that you have to take it out. Well, apparently, Google has removed a game where you play a Hong Kong protester and many Google employees are disagreeing with the decision. So this is kind of crossing tech boundaries. People are choosing sides over whether or not these big tech companies should still be doing, not so much doing business in China, but allowing China to dictate to them what applications and what services will be allowed on their devices. Most of these arguments don't take into account that China is not their country and that these businesses have to follow the rules and regulations of the countries that they do business in, or they don't get to do business in them anymore. And it's not realistic, in my opinion, to say, well, then just don't do business in them, especially when 90% plus of the stuff that you make is manufactured in China.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sorry. No. I thought I was I ranting there? Was I pontificating?
No. But this has been the same story for years.
Years.
China has their own rules and they wants, and Google and Apple and probably even Microsoft wants to get their money from selling them stuff.
Sure.
So it's going to be a game of making China happy while making America happy at the same time by not doing everything China wants to do. And that's
hard. When you can.
When you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing politics to China, but they have to. All these companies have to if they want to stay in China.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the main story. I think this show is going to be shorter than usual. When is it too much? We're back on China again. This is a story from aboveavalon.com. A different view on Apple and China. The problem with looking at Apple's actions in regards to China is perspective. In other words, whose perspective are you going to favor? Apple, nearly everything they make is made in China, and they could potentially cripple the company by banning manufacturing. China, according to China, Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan were territories stolen from them by mostly European powers, and they are reasserting their rights. Various political factions that all seem upset that Apple would give in to China's demands. So where does the truth lie? And let's start with Warren. What do you think, Warren?
It's pointing at Dave. Man. Now I have to think about the question. What are you saying?
Where does the truth lie in all of this stuff with Apple and China?
It's the same thing now, right? And the problem. So the story, the new story is Apple opened up or is now manufacturing iPhone 10s and 10Rs in India, and and they will be doing the iPhone 11 in India, and they say that it's not just being sold to people in India but other European markets. And the reason why I bring that up is because it sounds like it's maybe one possible exit strategy of getting manufacturers out of China. And that's what they have to do. They have to, you know, if China, you know, waves their hand up and say, no more, you can't do anything here in China, Apple, Google, you know, most companies are just going to, if that happens, will be crippled.
Screwed. Yeah.
But if they could wait, you know, if they have a contingency plan, which it would be, the only thing it would be other facilities to produce this stuff, then it will be a slow process. But it sounds like Apple is actually looking to try to do that at this point. But right now, they can't. So right now, there's no way for them to not produce their stuff in China as of now.
All right, Dave?
Yeah, I'll kind of just same thing with Warren said. It's all the battle with keeping China happy, but you know there's a line to it. They said that this app was pulled because of the whole Hong Kong thing, and I guess they could see that, and they gave the example about the NBA. I thought the NBA thing was a little crazy too, because one person makes a bad comment about something that offends China, and China's like we can't trust the NBA anymore. We want them out.
Right. Well, to be fair, it was the GM of the Houston Rockets. It wasn't like it was one of the players. So,
right. I mean, no,
somebody
affiliated with the NBA. Right.
Right. Not just a player.
Well, anybody that's affiliated with the NBA, the general manager of a team. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty prominent person as well. So, you don't see Tim Cook doing something like that, but you know, he's trying to do a level playing field with this. It's hard. You're rocking a hard place. You want to do business in China for selling your products, but they're also in a pickle with the trade talks and what it's going to cost them to continue to manufacture iPhones and other devices in China. So, you know, they're looking at India as a market for selling their products in India, as well as they've got a good workforce in India that are able to do things that that China can do as well. I mean, they've got a lot of talented workers in that country, so yeah. I would not be at all surprised if they start shipping a lot of those products out of India into other countries, including the U.S.
Well, it's not just India. I mean, you have Vietnam, which is no friend to China, even though they're both, in theory, communist countries. They've had a number of border skirmishes along their borders. You have South Korea, you have the Philippines, you have Taiwan. I mean, that's just the Asia factor. If you could do it in a politically stable area somewhere in the Middle East or Africa, then you could, you know, broaden your manufacturing scope by going that way. The fact that these companies, and here's the thing, you know, you've got part of the reason why they do this in China is, you know, China has these companies that have these huge facilities where they can just put 400,000 people. Think about that. 400,000 people in one factory, one Foxconn factory, and all of the engineering support and everything else that it takes to crank out a million iPhones a week or a month or whatever the number is. It's a large number. And that's not something, it's not like they can just say, well, let's just put this factory in Wisconsin, because it doesn't work. You don't have that huge amount, you know, that many people that you could assign to building iPhones. And your only other alternative would be to set up multiple factories to build the same thing, which, of course, isn't cost efficient. So...
But the problem is any country that's not on your home turf could come around and, you know, 5 years from now, there could be political turmoil with India. And, sure. Or there could be something going on there. So you're taking it, unless you put it in your backyard, in your own country, you're pretty much risking something could happen, you know, with that country. And, you know, the smartest thing to do would be
diversify.
The smartest thing to do would be to, if you're an American company, to have a plant in America that's capable of producing, you know, most of your product.
Well, you would be looking at a level of automation for building small devices like that I don't think currently exists. I mean, it's getting closer and closer. Every year. I mean, they have robots that can tear them apart. I wonder if they could build robots that could put them together. I don't know. Yeah, if you could come up with a way to be able to use less labor, less physical, you know, manual labor to put these things together with more automation, then sure, you could put a large factory almost anywhere under the conditions that the factory has a source to bring in the parts, to ship out the finished products afterwards. So, you know, I mean, there's so much that goes into modern manufacturing that it's not all just, you know, how many people can we put into a factory to put one part or two parts on and then move up to the next line.
Yeah. Nobody's saying this is an easy task. It's not easy, but my point is the only way to guarantee, and that's not even a real guarantee, the only way to increase your probability that you won't have any problems with the countries that you're dealing with or the government or the employees or the economy of the place that you're going, is to have the full control over Siri. Siri just opened. I don't know why. Is to have full control for no reason. To have full control. And the only way you can do that is to, you know, be in the government that you're in. And I think
Or it's had the factory in the country that, yeah. Well, and not only that, but there's also countries, I mean, if you look at India, for example, the main reason why they put a factory in India was because the government there was like, you have to build most of what it is you're going to sell in our country, in our country. Yeah. So as well as app development and you know, but and that was all before they could even contemplate having something that resembles an Apple store beyond having third parties open up something for sales and service.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, it's a question of how much can you manufacture in one country, regardless of what that country is, and still be able to sell worldwide? Because it's, because you know, the EU also takes kind of a dim view of product dumping from other countries. Apparently, not with China, but with, you know, with other with other countries and other companies. All right, anyone tired of talking about China? Are you tired of talking about China?
For like a month now. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Leslie says that they shouldn't have all their eggs in one basket, should be manufacturing in many countries. And yeah, I think we would all agree with that. The question is where, and the question is how, you know. And remember that the manufacturing of something like an iPhone or getting set up to do manufacturing at all is a process that can take many, many years. So, you know, it's not like they can just pick up a factory and move it someplace else and say, okay, we're going to do this here now, because it just doesn't work that way. All right, let's talk about Apple TV Plus, because it's finally coming. Apple TV Plus is going to debut November 1st. For the price of $4.99 or free for 1 year with the purchase of an Apple qualifying device. This is a story out of the Hollywood Reporter. Most of what this story was doing was talking about how some of the featured programs that's going to be in Apple TV Plus have had kind of a rocky start. Especially the flagship show that everyone, not everyone, but that Apple has been touting, which is The Morning Show. Jennifer Aniston and, Reese Witherspoon. Right. Sorry, I don't know why I couldn't think of her name.
Witherspoon.
Yeah. And so apparently the original showrunner was kicked off the show. And who was also one of the writers, so the show has taken kind of a dramatic twist before they even shot any footage for it. When you have people like Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, why are you going to put them into a show that apparently is mostly a drama?
You thought it was a comic. You're like, I didn't see any comedy in that. Wasn't funny. And we had to explain to you that it wasn't a comedy, and that was cute, I thought. But
actors. These are actors and actresses that have cut their bones in comedy TV and comedy movies.
It's not a comedy, and dramas do better, get better ratings. So that's why.
Well, I have absolutely no desire to watch this show.
It sounds like if you got involved with this, you would be another wrench in the cycle of creative differences.
This is not funny. This is not the best breakfast I've ever had, Brad.
Steve Carell is about to jump off a building and kill himself. That's not funny. No, there's nothing funny about that.
No, unless he can fall in a funny way, you would have to take several takes, but eventually you could come up with a way where his arm is flailing in such a way that you know, it's kind of like the Roadrunner Coyote kind of thing.
There was a headline that said The Morning Show is not about Matt Lauer, but it kind of really is. So that's where it is. It's basically Steve Carell's character is somebody who got caught up in the Me Too movement and I think he, you know, loses his job, and Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon have to deal with that.
So okay, well, see, but that's like one storyline. What are you going to do with Steve Carell after that? Is he just going to disappear when that story? I mean, how far can you take a storyline like that? Because with the Me Too movement, basically, once somebody is called out for this, they go away and you never see them again. So,
no, I mean, even
basically,
with the
Steve Carell comes out and says, not really.
I'm sure it is. A book came out and the woman saying, now he's saying he raped her. And then Matt Lauer saying, no, I didn't rape her. And now they're saying it was consensual. And now they're saying he dated someone. I mean, you go on. This could drag on forever if they wanted to. Whether it's going to be good or not. I'm not saying it's going to be good. I have no idea. I'm just saying that that's what it's about.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I mean, yeah, you're also going to look in to face that Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are also going to be making $2 million an episode, and they're both executive producers. So they got quite a bit of control of this show.
Well, then it needs to be a good show. And
yes.
Thank
you for that information, guy.
Talent will only take you so far. You know, I mean, you have to have a well-written show. And
Tim Cook comes to the set about once a month and points at him and says, "This has to be a good show," and then he just leaves.
Or else
that's all I would do.
Yeah, he just has to be good. And by the way,
and he shakes his finger when he says it, because that's what.
And by the way, this is not. But supposedly, in reality, they are. What is it? The Amazing Stories. One of them's having creative differences because they say Apple is. They had a word for it, but Apple is being too overly controlling of what they're trying to do. There was a term.
Well,
like
there's been a couple of shows that were. Initially announced, not at the big reveal, but that were initially announced, and then you know you don't hear about them anymore because the producers and creative minds behind some of these shows are like, we just couldn't work with Apple to put this out.
Right, initially, Tim Cook said something stupid like, "We want every what do you say?" He said, "We want everything to be nice, or everybody be nice, and you know."
Yeah, well, nobody wants to tune in for nice.
There was one. Tim. There was one where it was two. Was this the one with two like World War veterans that, or some war veterans that got together later in life? And you know what I'm talking about?
No, my son just came in. Talk about the movie Crawl, Dad, You Coward. I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
Peter, you're going to have to give me a little more context than that.
The time you got drunk and crawled across the movie theater?
Probably not, because I don't really drink that much. we all went to Texas about... what, 2 weekends ago for the wedding, and Peter and my son Guy and one of Peter's friends that were down in the Austin area went to go see Joker, and they really liked it. I don't know if that has anything to do. Father, you are like totally hijacking Peter. Are you here at the house now? It's a horror movie with alligators. Are you talking about the one with Betty White? What was that? Lake Placid? Okay.
Okay. Let's get back on this.
I'll focus on this topic here.
Yeah. Peter, you hijacker, you. One of the other shows that they're talking about is, of course, the one with Jason Momoa. See?
Yes.
And... That's had some issues that I've read about, but it's still, I mean, at the end of the day, it's Jason Momoa, so that's a big draw. The whole premise of the TV show seems to be there was some cataclysmic event and nobody can see, and then two children are born that can see, and some factors think that it's great and other people want to kill them. That seems to be the whole premise of the show. Yeah, so
there's a lot of other shows that they've got already slated up here.
You got Snoopy in space.
The truth be told,
I mean, the reality is most movie if you give Father. A plot line, if you give a plot line like that with most movies, they all sound kind of, or shows they all sound.
Well, except for the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was a terrible movie, but I bet you could describe it in such a way that was quite interesting. A transvestite hijacks two Midwesterners and forces them to watch him create a creature that has half a brain of a biker. Okay, you throw something like that out, and you're kind of like, well, yeah, I might want to see that. That sounds kind of interesting.
Like Game of Thrones was a terrible movie. Game of Thrones was like, you know, there's a dragon, there's a couple people, there's a lot of boobies, they have sex with each other, and you know, a lot of, you know.
Well, you see, you had me right there.
Yeah.
Violence and sex.
Yeah, so that's all. That's how would you describe it otherwise? And that's what it was. Yeah.
So but the weird thing is, I never really watched it. I had several people that tried to get me interested in it, and it's like, you know, because it's an HBO show and I don't have HBO, you know, you've got the paywall that's right there, and am I going to spend quite a bit of money to start to try to binge watch? What was it? 6 seasons that show was on, or was it more? 8 seasons. How? Well, regardless, it's hundreds of hours of content at the end of the day.
We did it. My wife and I did it in 3 months. We binged the whole thing in 3 months.
I couldn't do it.
We didn't watch a single episode, and then halfway through the last season, we binged it, and it was good until the last season.
But you know, you've got something like Disney Plus that's coming out.
The dragon did it. Just in case you want to know.
No, I kind of figured. You know, it should have been called Game of Dragons. Yeah,
Disney Plus, yes.
Disney Plus is coming out, and they've got Marvel TV shows. They have Star Wars TV shows. They've got like all of these incredible franchises that will guarantee that one faction or another will tune in. I mean, some of the shows that they've talked about, especially in the Star Wars part of it, just seem incredible. The Mandalorian seems like it's kind of like Boba Fett or Boba Fett-ish. And he's a character that was not really utilized that well in the original trilogy, Star Wars trilogy. So you've got a lot of content out there that's coming out, and if you go kind of in the opposite direction and try to do what CBS did, what did they call their CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. With and their flagship show was Star Trek Discovery, which some people really really liked. I can't say that I did. I'm still subscribed to it. I don't know why, and I keep watching it, hoping that it's going to get better, and it hasn't, in my opinion. And now they finished off the second season in such a way that they could have ended it, but they're coming out with another season. And then, of course, you also have the new Picard TV show, which I have much more interest in than Star Trek Discovery. But beyond that, they don't have a whole lot of extra content, and they're trying to sell you this service for $6 to $11 a month. And there's actually, you know, there's a, for people who want to cut the cord, there's a very interesting website called suppose.tv that will allow you through your zip code to see all of the various options that you have for cutting the cord, Hulu, PlayStation View, YouTube Live or YouTube TV, Core, Philo, what was some of the other ones?
How would that vary by location?
Because you just sling. I mean, you put in your zip code, and then you put in your local channels, you put in the premium channels you want to watch. There's like all these different channels that you can put in. You can change the priority, you know, which ones you're more interested in. And it gives you like 15 different options with all of the different services that are around to get to the kind of content that it is you want to watch and roughly how much it's going to cost. So check that out if you can. That's suppose.tv. We are so off topic. I guess there really wasn't much else to say about the Apple TV, well, Apple TV Plus service.
Disney Plus, you sign up at $6.99 a month or $69.99 for a year if you pay for the whole year.
Sure.
But you also, there is a bundle you can get with Hulu or ESPN Plus for $12.99 a month.
You said that was Hulu and what else?
Hulu or ESPN Plus.
Or ESPN Plus.
You could choose. Okay.
So, I mean, if you're already a Hulu subscriber, that's a no-brainer, I tell you.
Yeah, because, well, and Hulu will get you a lot of your local content. I guess the biggest problem for a lot of people is going to be live sports, and how long will it be before live sports start disappearing behind paywalls? In some ways, already has. Go ahead.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out next year, because the Chicago Cubs, for the first time ever, have created their own network, and all their games are going to be on that network, the Marquee Sports Network. So I'm curious to see what they're going to charge.
Right now, you could still put an. I mean, anybody could stick an antenna on your TV and get the local channels.
Yeah, right. Digital antenna.
And make sure you rescan in 2 days.
They're changing the lineup. But yeah, I mean,
they're changing the frequencies.
So, if you go to Amazon or Best Buy and spend $30, you could get in HD every local channel and not pay anybody anything. So that's one way to go.
Well, that's local channels, but that doesn't get you a lot of the other stuff that's currently in various. What does that say? Okay, uses US TV Go, TV.tv for live. I've never heard of that.
No, and I mentioned one called Locast. There's one called Locast out there that's still working. It still works.
Still working, basically. Amazingly enough.
But it's only not in every city. Not in every city, but if it's in your city, you can watch your local channels online. But you know, with sports right now, you'll probably get most of what you get with the antenna, because you only get local. Hell, if I put an antenna up, I'd probably get more sports, because I could probably get New York and Philadelphia stations from my house. Where right now I just get on cable Philadelphia stations. So it depends, but we watch football, and football is a pain in the neck, because you only get a few games, and you have to do DirecTV if you want to see all the games, which is not something we're doing.
Or you get the Red Zone channel on cable.
Yeah, the Red Zone only
gives you the Red Zone, though. I mean, like, you can't watch the games.
Everybody wants to watch all the games. I mean,
there's games, like, we're Giants fans, and we're in the Philadelphia market, and there's games that are televised not in Philly. So that's an issue.
Okay. We're so off topic that we should probably just end this for tonight.
Sounds like a plan.
We have.
I got a pack.
Yeah, where are you going?
Vegas.
Vegas, baby. Nice. Vegas, I've never been to Vegas. I want to go to Vegas someday.
I'll be there 2 weeks, and I'll be at CES in January.
Nice.
Yeah,
everything is booked, baby.
All right, Dave, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
They would do it by going to In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. In fact, Warren's going to be on the show this week, so you're going to have to come listen to that. And if you want to reach me on Twitter, DaveG65.
Okay, how about you, Warren?
I will be at the Mirage in Las Vegas tomorrow through Monday if you want to come contact or visit me.
But don't touch him.
I'll be there. Don't touch me. But, if you want to come up and hang out in my room, that's where I'll be.
But no touchy. No touchy.
No touch. Don't touch me.
No touchy. You'd like to get more information about me or see some of the other stuff that I do, I also do the Mac, besides the Mac to the Future Go livecast, I also do the MyMac.com podcast. with Mr. Kaz. What are you doing back there? As well as Guy's Daily Drive. My email address is guy@mymac.com. My Twitter accounts, MacParrot and VertShark. You can find most of the stuff that I do over there on VertShark, though I need to update it. I haven't done that in a while because I am so lazy. What else? If you would like to help contribute to putting all of this together, because you can tell how professional this all is, you can donate through Patreon, patreon.com/MacParrot. There is a one-time donation way to do it, coffee.com, ko-fi.com/MacParrot. And, of course, there is also paypal.me/MacParrot. For all of you who have donated in the past, thank you. Thank you all so very much. I really, really do appreciate it. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. I will continue to do this stuff no matter what other people say. So that is going to do it for this evening. Thank you, Warren. Thank you, Dave, for being on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And I think we should just say goodnight. So say goodnight, Warren.
Goodnight, everybody. Go
Dave.
Go Giants.
Bye.
Go Bears.